a week solidarity, Brekkie Team listener. On a serious note again, but we don't have to iterate, for we know the horrors of the devastation, the slaughter, the massacre, the genocide. And just one observation, as even the sponsor of the perpetrators is concerned at the image the destruction is having for its protege, Zion. A report this week, under US pressure to prevent further mass casualties, Zion says it is being more precise as it widens its offensive. But they've told us for weeks how precise they are. How can they be more precise than precise? And the awful truth is they are being precise. Now, a week when the world's great fossil behemoths got together to save the planet from the world's great fossil behemoths, as the Cop That Planet Earth talk fest got underway under the auspice of an oily fossil, against the background that global greenhouse emissions will rise 9% from 2010 to 2030, the levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has reached 420 parts per million, the highest in 4 million years, true, and we have just had the hottest year on record. And True Blue Aussie was announced as one country whose emissions have increased in the past year. Imagine if our government didn't believe in climate change, if there is such a thing, and wasn't doing so much to address it. Now, let's rephrase that. Wasn't telling us how it was doing so much to address it. Just as seriously, as urgently as the Cop That Planet Earth Secretariat, which announced that this Cop That will set the tone for the next few years. Next year's Cop That will set new financial ambitions, and the 2025 Cop That will demand that governments ramp up their specific emission reduction goals. Demand. 2 years hence. See? Urgent. And optimistic, presuming planet Earth will make it to Cop That 30. But no, the fossils do take it seriously, as the host, the United Arab Emirates Rex the Planet fossil minister said. We all have saving on our minds. We're all on this planet together, he said. You're trying to save it, and we're trying to save our profits. So we have a common interest. Our very own Woodside with Profit showed it was taking it all seriously by signing a gas charter. Yet, to show how unreasonable the non-fossils can be, a mob called Zero Carbon Analytics spat spitefully, companies set their own emissions reduction plans and meeting targets is voluntary. There is no penalty for not meeting self-imposed goals. Lowering methane intensity will not cut emissions if productivity is still rising. Talk about ungrateful for small mercies. After Woodside and other fossils signed the charter in good faith, and with even stronger good faith, announced that gas would have to be part of the energy mix until forever, or we will never be able to transition from gas. For how can we transition from gas if there is no gas from which to transition? Although after 28 Cop That Planet Earth, some people might have thought we could be a little bit closer to eradicating fossil emissions. Wonder why we're not. Wonder if this headline in Wednesday's True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review might provide a small clue. Fall in coal gas exports to crimp growth. No, can't be, because that would imply the great fossils regard their bottom line as more important than planet Earth. Interesting observation. Environmentalists calling for an end to fossil pollution are always described as activists, usually as a pejorative, while the thousands of fossil lobbyists and executives defending their interests are not activists, just good corporate citizens battling the activist forces of evil who don't comprehend the fragility of the delicate flower that is the economy. The compassion and humanity of fossil boardrooms, bringing us to dripping with compassion and humanity, the socialists came up with a brilliant solution to the little twin problems of the High Court ruling those seeking refuge from persecution and those who have served their sentence can't be locked up for life, and the caring business class hayseed and sheep shit coalition screaming we'll all be murdered in our beds. Lock them up for 3 years. See? That's not life. And then lock them up for another 3 years. And then, same result, but what brilliant legal minds they are. Raising a definition of impossible. They could make Vlad the Impaler look like a saint, and caring business class supremo and would-be big supremo, Constable Peter Duffer, would still call them soft on no papers, queue-jumping illegal boat people. See? Impossible. Bring back the death penalty, and he'd still attack them for being too soft, too lenient. But given they did buckle at the knees to show they weren't soft after Pete and his team predicted murder and mayhem, accusing the government of being far, far too slow to react to the High Court's threat to our security, Pete picks up the Consistency of the Week award by then attacking them for rushing the legislation. Lose, lose, a race to the bottom. There was a win-win scenario, but that would have required them to treat human beings as, wait for it, as human beings. It would therefore be hypocritical for the socialists to condemn Zion for locking up 8,000 plus Palestinian hostages, and throwing away the key, but we can't accuse them of hypocrisy because they don't condemn Zion. They learn from it. The opposition and the Lord Rupert of Wapping Media went into faux anger overdrive when four of the security threats were arrested, one for having a bit of pot, which, if it is now a lock-em-up-for-life crime, would see a few million of the true blue Aussies there terrifying, locked up for life if the forces of law and order were equally diligent in monitoring their every move. Although, we put to caring business class party deputies of Primo, Susan, Lees and Dregs, doesn't that mean 144 of these threats to our security haven't committed a crime, a heinous crime like breaching their curfew conditions? This shows how devious these people are and how irresponsible it was for the socialists to turn them loose on society. But they had no choice. The court ruled the old law was flawed. We'll all be flawed thanks to the socialists. Susan displayed her famous wit. The socialists had a responsibility to know that our law was not lawful. We have proof the socialists are in league with these terrorists, all 144 of them, biding their time before they take to our bedrooms and kill us all. That's terrible, Susan. What is your proof? Constable Duffer and Michaela Koch, the workers, told me. Despite this avalanche of compassion and humanity, the socialists and the coalition have not been compassionate and humane enough. We are still under threat every time a prisoner walks out the prison gates. That's the only logical conclusion to their most reasonable hysteria. Because surely the parliamentary majority would not be racist. Oh, no, the Voice referendum dispelled any suggestion of racism, and they were the original true blue Aussies. This lot come from other places, alien places, seeking asylum, fleeing persecution, or alien prisoners released after serving their sentences, bringing us to the only security measure we can adopt if we're not all to be murdered in our beds. As we pointed out a couple of weeks ago, lock any person sentenced to prison up for life. It's the only logical conclusion from Pete and his team's argument, and therefore, by inference, the government argument, making us aware that people seeking asylum, fleeing persecution, pose a major security threat. Any wonder our minister for being offensive and trained killing Richard Moore's the bad guys was so effusive in the US of the UN of the US of the world, with his forecast superiors stockpiling more and more products of the merchants of death to protect us from internal threats like refugees and alien prisoners, and of course that threat we don't name as a threat, except when we do let slip that evil China is a threat. In the nothing like a bit of self-promotion department, dripping with excitement headline in the Lord Rupert of Wapping Media, sky's the limit for news. Yes, we can cop the station's biggest names, including Andrew Boltra the head and Peter Credibility in tatters, 24 hours a day and streaming on Lord Rupert's fax-distorted pay TV channel for $5 a month. And I thought, most of us would be prepared to pay a lot more than that, not to have to listen to their crap. Sky's the limit. Surely it's sky's the limited. Very limited. Very, very limited. And very, very limited comprehension. think we've fingered the problem behind these reports that students are falling behind in maths and reading skills. It starts at the top. The evil tertiary union claimed this week our unis owe about $160 million in wage theft and expect that figure to blow out substantially after more investigations. So what hope, dear little children, when even vice chancellors and their finance experts can't even read an award and do the maths? Haven't seen any reports of them inadvertently overpaying a worker, but how dumb. I reckon most of those kids they reckon are falling behind would have no trouble comprehending the award that vice chancellors at Owl find so challenging. On which in the she would say that, wouldn't she department, all because the bloody socialists are talking about removing tax deductibility for donations to certain institutions like the elite of elite private schools, a barrier to their state-of-the-art facilities, they claim. Surely the donors aren't influenced by the tax possibilities involved, but the elite of elite Sydney's Pymble's Ladies College principal, Kate Hadwin, was aghast. Schools were not be able to provide adequate facilities without donations. All of these decisions simply layer on more costs for parents who might not be able to afford it. Oh yes, the poverty-stricken parents of Pymble Ladies College. And tut tut, Kate, bad grammar, costs plural, it's singular, setting a bad example to your ladies. But Kate, congratulations, your she would say that, wouldn't she, award is on its way. Sorry, but it's not tax deductible. Finally, true story to show how struggling those parents are. Many, many, many years ago, as a young bloke holidaying on an island resort, I met a former Pymble Ladies College student who had just graduated as a kindergarten teacher. And just to give her employment prospects a boost as a graduation present, Daddy bought her a kindergarten of her own. He also hired a bodyguard to protect her from blokes like me. And given all he cared about was money, when she introduced us, the first thing he said was, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "I'm a journalist." And he said, "I've never yet met a journalist who's got money." And I said, "Don't worry, your record's intact. Buy me a drink." Good morning.